On Friday night, Jews throughout the country gathered in their synagogues in a state of shock, grief, bewilderment, and fearfulness. And we stand appalled and helpless before the enormity of the rapid escalation of unspeakable violence in the Holy Land. We've been shocked to witness the biblical barbarism of the Hamas slaughter of Israeli civilians in the settlements of southern Israel. Hamas's actions display a deliberate barbarism born of the religious fanaticism that despises life, any life in this world, in preference to the promise of paradise in the next. Of course, there's a political calculation in Hamas's action to scupper any path forward for peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors in the region. And so in slow motion, we now watch the 21st century revenge of a traumatized Israel. Reeling after the revival of Jewish collective memories of helplessness in the face of genocidal attack. That such a thing could happen within the borders of Israel is particularly painful. Israel, the one country where Jews hoped to be safe. The victims of Hamas fighters were not the ultra-militant residents of the illegal settlements on the West Bank that every day devour more and more Palestinian land and precious water resources. Thomas Friedman, in his New York article, a New York Times article, "Israel Has Never Needed to Be Smarter Than in This Moment," quotes the Israeli writer Ari Shavit, who says, "These were the homes of the people of pre-1967 Israel, democratic Israel, liberal Israel, living in peaceful kibbutzim or going to a life-loving disco party." A reminder that for Hamas, Israel's mere existence is a provocation. Friedman articulates the challenging situation facing Israel now, which is to act in its own long-term best interests and not fall into the trap of doing what Hamas and Iran dearly want it to do. And as Americans, we now recognize in the decades after 9/11, revenge is a path that leads only to a cycle of ever-diminishing return. And in grappling with its enemies, we now must bear witness to the execution of Israel's rage upon the Hamas, resulting in the collateral deaths of thousands of Palestinians. History attests that in Israel, after the current war emergency is over, there will be a terrible reckoning for the politicians who have exploited Israeli-Palestinian and Israeli culture war tensions that gravely endangered the cohesion and security of the nation. For the citizens of Gaza, no such future reckoning awaits. At best, the leaders of Hamas will either be killed or escape into exile, never having to answer for their crimes against their own people. The Gaza Palestinians now 60% of whom are children, continue to die under the hail of Israeli bombs, while Hamas terrorists hide within the shadow underground city of tunnels and caverns more extensive than London's underground tube system. So what are we to do? This is not an inconsequential question. As many today look to the latest tweet or social media post for their moral compass settings, no longer able to hold mutually contesting thoughts at the same time, reducing a spectrum of nuanced grays into blacks and whites that offer the illusion of some kind of solution, and feed the dangerous yearning to take a stand for one side or the other. Our culture of false moral equivalency has obscured for many a clear-sighted understanding of the fundamental moral question which Ben Wittes, co-director of the Harvard Law School Brookings Project on Law and Security, has recently articulated so clearly. Wittes tweeted, "There are no problems the solutions to which are the intentional murder of civilians. There are no problems the solutions to which are the intentional murder of civilians." And the response of many to his tweet was, "Yes, but," a continuation of the whataboutism response. No matter the context of oppression, the genuine grievances of the oppressed, and the genuine fears of the oppressors, the solution never justifies the political murder of civilians. That, as a culture we can no longer agree on, is, as a basic moral premise, is a cause for great concern. So what can we do? Ultimately, what we can do is to categorically affirm, that is, without qualification, without exception, the fundamental moral principle that there are no problems the solution to which are the intentional murders of civilians. And agreement on this principle provides us with a moral roadmap for action. In the E-News this week, I suggested two possible practical ways that we can be of support in the current situation. I drew your attention to the American Friends of the Episcopal Diocese of Jerusalem appeal for the Al-Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza. This is a Christian-run hospital by the Diocese of Jerusalem. I also drew attention to the appeal by the American Friends of Amagen David Adolf, the Israeli equivalent of the Red Cross. And as a member of the International Red Cross organization, the Israeli equivalent of the Red Cross cannot receive government funding. As the principal provider for ambulance and emergency services across Israel, it is completely dependent on donations. So there are practical things that we can do. And alongside finding practical ways to support humanitarian relief, we must not overlook the crucial importance of giving spiritual support. Spiritually, our task is to bear witness to the facts of violence and atrocity, facing humanity's seemingly bottomless capacity for inhumanity without flinching or seeking to explain it away. Our spiritual task is to bear witness to the suffering of the innocent, refusing to justify the causes of their suffering. As Christians, we bear testament to a mystery that might is never right, a mystery concealed in plain sight from those whose vision is wholly conformed by the power-driven zero-sum narratives of this world. Facing unflinchingly into the face of violence and refusing to turn our faces away from the suffering of the innocent. This is, I believe, our most important Christian witness. In our epistle reading this morning, we heard from the continuation of Paul's letter to his friends in Philippi. Philippi had been a rich seedbed for his mission, and we should not forget his reference to the women who were fundamental in working alongside him in the Philippi mission. And Paul's letter to the Philippians is a love letter. Having already encouraged the Philippians to adopt humility as the model for Christ-centered living, in today's portion, he exhorts them with, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And then God's peace, "A peace that passes all understanding, will be with you." What can we do? We can practice the cultivation of truth in the face of lies and misinformation. We can hold in tension conflicting viewpoints without succumbing to the temptation of either or answers. We can choose honorable action when tempted to take the road of expediency. We can value excellence in a culture where the mediocre will suffice. And in our encounter with anything worthy of praise, we can fix our minds there, cultivating a deep attitude of gratitude flowing into generous action. We can cherish love, commend justice, and in so doing, open ourselves to the counsel of our better angels. We can fervently pray for peace to come and work for justice to be done. But oh, how easily our prayers for peace and justice trip off our tongues. We pray earnestly for peace as a cessation of conflict while ignoring the denial of justice. As we are forced to currently bear witness, peace without justice is merely the temporary suspension of hostilities. Peace is the hard fruit of love. And justice is the hard doing of love. Peace and justice are indivisible and their causes inseparable. And as 70 years of turbulence in the Holy Land bear witness, justice denied frustrates the desire for peace. The world continues to burn, and the need for us is to base our attitudes, our decisions, and our actions upon a fundamental moral principle. And the need for us to do this only grows more urgent. Amen.